I'd like to thank our brother, first and foremost, for inviting me down to Enniskillen the night to give a word of testimony. We were last here, myself and my brother Stephen, who volunteered to come down with me tonight, by the way. We're instructed in the Word of God to bear one another's burdens, and it's a burden driving down here on your own, and I want to thank Stephen for accompanying me tonight. And we were last down here whenever the men's choir were down during the mission, and little did I know sitting down there that in a few weeks later I'd be standing up here, brother. But I want to thank our brother for the opportunity to testify again as to what the Lord has done and how the Lord has saved and how the Lord has blessed and how the Lord has kept and how the Lord has strengthened and how the Lord is all things. Amen. To me in all situations. And I have much to praise and thank the Lord for, and I intend to do that tonight. To stand here and just simply, through simple words of a mere sinner saved by the grace of God, just to testify that the Lord is good, and the Lord is mighty, and the Lord is great, and the Lord is full of grace and full of power, and He's able to save, and He's able to deliver. And if there's any in here tonight that's not saved, I hope and pray, that's my earnest prayer, that the unsaved tonight will go away with Christ. Amen. They'll go away just simply trusting in the Lord. And God's people, it's my earnest prayer too that my testimony will be a real encouragement to God's people. I always try to do that, to encourage God's people, because we need encouragement. Amen. In these days and in every day. And with that in mind, I would like you to open up the Word of God, please, into Psalm 34. I have a couple of readings. First one's found in Psalm 34, and then we'll move on to Romans chapter 5. I know you had my brother with me, or with you last week, and some have said to us over the years that me and him are very alike. I don't like that. So if he says to me whenever I go home this week, well, did anybody think you were like me? I would say, not a chance. But go with me to Psalm 34 and the verse 1, please. Just a few verses in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the Lord, the humble, shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Let me just repeat that verse here. That's a wonderful verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And go with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. And again, beginning to read at the verse 1. Romans chapter 5. It says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And again, I'll repeat that verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, friends, as you maybe heard from my own brother's, Jeffrey's testimony last week, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in the town of Makarrah. Since I was married, I've been a resident of Makerfeld. But growing up in our home, it was not a Christian home. But you see those verses in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and verse 8. And it was home there I was rarely, if ever, sent to Sunday school or anything to do with the house of God. Very few occasions that we would have found ourselves in Sunday school. So much so that I've said this always in my testimony, that it was only in recent years that I came, that I was reminded that I couldn't even tell you the name of anybody or a name of a Sunday school teacher that taught me. It gives you an indication of how little time that I spent in Sunday school, or church for that matter. But those verses 6 and 8 in Romans chapter 5, Even though my mother never went to church, my father never went to church, and even my dad never went to church hardly for funerals or anything at all. But those verses, verse 6 and verse 8, were two verses of scripture that hung on my bedroom wall. And those were probably, you know, there are kids in here tonight that could recite many verses of scripture, recite catechism, shorter catechism. And that's wonderful, and that's truly amazing. And it's a blessing to the parents who have been able to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But those were probably the only two verses that I, as a young kid, a young teenager, as a young man, would have known off by heart. Knew very little about the Word of God. But I love that verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I went to sleep almost every night of my young years looking at a little framed picture with those wonderful words of Scripture on it. No better. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, and this is beautiful, Christ died for us. Amen. Wonderful. As I say, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. And there were three boys in our home. I have an older brother, I'm the middle boy, and then his brother Jeffrey was here last night. We had three younger sisters. But I will say this, even though I did not grow up in a home where I was taught the Scriptures, or sent along where I would have been taught the Scriptures, friends, there's no escaping the Scriptures in this land. I had many godly influences in my life. And I want to name a few of them tonight as I give a word of testimony. I think of a grandmother. Now, my grandmother lived just across the way from us in a housing estate in Magara. We had a lot of relatives that lived nearby us. Aunts and uncles and whatnot. My granny's house was a place where we frequented a lot. But I remember my granny coming to faith in the Lord sometime around the mid to late 70s. And that was a mighty change. She was the first I can remember in a very, very large family circle that came to trust in Christ. And I could see a difference. Because we, as her grandchildren, with my mother and aunts and uncles, used to congregate in my granny's house. It was a place where you were at so-called great crack, great laughter and everything else. But there was a time, and I can't remember exactly when my granny's life was changed by the Lord. She got saved, and she told everybody. She told her grandchildren. She told her daughters and her sons. A godly influence in my life. And I saw a change and I saw a difference in her home. Not really my grandmother. And I thank the Lord. You know, as I stand here tonight, folks, giving a word of testimony, looking back, and I said this last week when I was testifying, as soon as we look back, as we get older, we see the hand of God in many things in our lives. And the providence of God in our lives. My grandmother. I think of a young friend that I had. Now, I want you to get this, because I've described my own home and my own upbringing with regard to gospel. And it was very little church background. And so were my friends. I grew up in a part of the town. Magara was much like a lot of towns in Northern Ireland at that time. Polarised. There was what we would call the Catholic end of town. We were at the bottom of the town, which was the Protestant end of town. And I ran around with a group of fellas, probably 12 or 13 to 15 fellas. All the same background. Protestant in name only. Protestant, and were able to hang the flags from every pole available, able to paint the curbs for every curb that was available, but Protestant in name only. As far as true biblical Protestantism is concerned, we were far from God. And as I examine that again, years down the line, I look at that and I see young men, young fellas, exactly the same. From homes, really, that cared little about the things of God. No Christian background. But again, the hand of God and the providence of God and the love of God toward us. That there was a family in our neighbourhood that was a Christian family. And this I say to encourage God's people. God's people who are maybe living in a neighbourhood. God's people with families. Godly families. There was a family in our neighbourhood. And you know, looking back, it's wonderful and it's mighty. They used to take us along. Must keep in mind that our background with regard to Sunday school and everything else. They went to a little Pentecostal church in the town. It was a very small little gathering. But they had little Sunday afternoon meetings in Makara. And they used to invite us, all us children. Now we went for all different reasons. For a laugh, for a carry on, whatever. But there I first heard about the Saviour. Amen. There I first heard about my need to be saved. It was there I first heard about that I was a sinner. But thank God for a family. We had a burden for young fellas, young girls in that neighbourhood. Now let me say this, I mentioned earlier on about my granny just lived across the way from us. There was a family, we had a family of six, and next door to us was a family of 12, next door to that a family of 8. If I could count our whole, the row of houses that I lived in, there were some children running about that neighbourhood at that time. It was some housing estate. I have something in the region of 40 or 50 first cousins. It's a big family. But that family had a burden for young souls like me. But I rejected the Saviour. But it was there that I first heard of the Lord. I think of that family. I think of my granny. I think of a young man, or young fella, not a man at this stage, that I ran around with. Even though he didn't live in that neighbourhood with us, young fellas that got involved in, yes, even at a young age in a small town, petty crime, trouble. Some of it was good, innocent fun. A lot of it wasn't. A lot of it was sinful. There's this young lad that used to come into the town. Like me, he shared a passion for football. He just lived about half a mile out of the town. He used to come in and play football. I grew very friendly with him. We supported the same football team. We were passionate about our football. But he was a Christian. And he was different. And that friendship has carried on to this day. He was a young believer, and he could. But the thing about it was, and I let me encourage young believers, maybe at school, maybe on the sports field, wherever you may find yourself, shine brightly for the Lord. This young lad did in my life. He was a very dear friend. I know he'd come into the story later on, as you learn in my word of testimony. Again, the Lord bringing me into contact, bringing me into friendship and close proximity to godly influences. People who knew him, people who loved him. But he was different, young folks. Yes, he came into the town to play with us. Yes, ungodly, sinful young men. But he did not feel the Lord as he mixed with us and as he played with us and everything else. He shone brightly for the Lord. How he behaved himself on the field, off the field and everything else. He was different. Different. And I never forgot that. And about that, growing up, I observed him. And I was to observe others in my growing up, even though far from God. But I can thank the Lord for those godly influences in my life. Again, I grew up still going to those little meetings with that family and everything else, but spending very little time. I just in the house of God or Sunday school or anything else, I rejected the Saviour at every opportunity. But again, I look back and I think of God's hand and God's providence. With regards to my teenage life and everything else, this was again meant to be a word of encouragement to God's people. Even though I think of the teenage years now, and I think of my years as a teenager and as a young man, you couldn't have got me into the house of God. And I say that with real sincerity. I could have said all the right things to the right people, came across as a half-decent fella, nice fella, this, that, the other. But many times I was invited to a mission or to the house of God, I'd have told lies. I've somewhere else to go. I've something else to do. Sorry. Said it the nice way. Said it so I wouldn't offend anybody. And maybe that's relating to someone sitting here tonight. Maybe you as God's people encounter that week in, week out. But you know, God was still speaking to me through that all. Yeah, I didn't want to be cornered. I didn't want to be brought into the house of God to be cornered about anything to do with religion or the gospel or anything else. But amazingly, see, I have a passion for reading. Still to this day, a passion for reading. Wouldn't call myself educated, by the way, but a passion for reading. But I thank God, standing here tonight, it was only the Lord that planted this in my heart, the desire to read gospel tracts. And with this, friends, let me encourage again, as I said earlier on about God's people needing encouragement. I think primarily you folks tonight who are involved in outreach work, have been for years, or maybe someone is just stepping out into that work for God. Our brother talked earlier on about the CDs, and I marvel at those and I really admire those who are involved in outreach work. It's hard. But even when you couldn't have got me into the house of God, I thank God for desiring my heart to read gospel tracts. It's always fascinated. So I look back fascinated with the stories that were contained in the little gospel tracts about men and women or boys or girls. And the stories of how God had reached them and how God had touched them and how the Lord had saved them. Fascinated. You see, and this is only a vague memory of me as a young man or a young teenager crossing the road to get them at a band parade. Couldn't have got me to the house of God. Not a chance. Not a chance. But God's word was been instilled in my heart through the gospel tracts. Again, where I heard about people who had been saved, heard about the love of Christ, heard about my need of Christ. And I thank God, I don't recall anybody that ever gave me a gospel tract. Don't know their name. But God used them, one by one, bit by bit, of writing His word upon my heart. But still I rebelled. Still I rejected the Savior. But let me encourage you, God's people, you do not know. Amen. You do not know who you're reaching with the gospel. Many times, I'm sure, I've seen it with my own eyes, people taking gospel tracts off you, casting them aside, maybe tearing them up in your face or whatever. But there are those that are taking them, and they're reading them. At that time, was I reading the Bible? I had a little Gideon's New Testament at home that every first year student would have got at secondary school or grammar school. But I rarely, I don't think I ever read it. My mother, I do recall from those years, as a teenager and everything else, as a young man, my mother would have been a bedside Bible reader. Whilst my mother and father were far away in their sinful lives, I do remember that. My mother would have had a Bible by her bedside and would have read it occasionally. Do I recall reading much of the Bible? Not at all. Not at all. I had that little Gideon's New Testament that everyone got at first year school. My teenage years also. Let me say this to you folks, that my teenage years also were spent, if I think about my own family and I think about the families in our neighbourhood, I detested, even though a young man that was far from God, I detested alcohol. And I say this as a sincere warning to young teenagers out here tonight. I detested it. I remember my dad bringing alcohol to home, or friends to home, and alcohol, that was not a frequent occurrence in our home, but it happened now and again. Our home would have been a place with so-called parties, and I despised it. I didn't like what alcohol brought to the home. It brought pain at times. It brought trouble, not only to our home, but neighbours. I saw the difficulties. I saw the problems. I saw the trouble. And I, as a young teenager, despised it. So much so that many times I remember me throwing the drink down the sink behind my dad's back. Now, if he had caught me at that, I was in deep trouble. Believe you me. He would have choked me. But I went from being a young teenager who despised alcohol, despised the consequences of alcohol and everything else. See, our home could have been a happy place for long periods of time. But when alcohol got in, there was trouble, there was pain. And as a young fellow, I hated it, despised it. But I went from being a young lad who hated and despised it to a young lad who was now maybe working and bringing money in and everything else, and sitting on the bar stool and reveling in it. And loving it. And let me assure you, the old devil is subtle. Young folks, you've been brought up well. Brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as I said earlier on. And beware. Beware. And I, even though I wasn't a heavier child, by this stage was involved at the outset of my football career. Wasn't a heavy drinker. But believe me, whenever I went seeking after the pleasures of sin, and they are only for a season, I fell deeper and deeper into sin. Deeper and deeper into sin. Yes, there was laughter. Yes, there was fun, but yes, there was pain with it also. And it was to bring me into even more deeper pain as my young adult life went on. But when I think about that, I just thank God for keeping His hand upon me. For keeping His hand upon me through all those years. Dangerous years, far from the Lord. That where at a moment, if the Lord had called me, I was lost. I was lost. I was out of Christ without a Saviour. Out of Christ without a Saviour. Well, friends, my teenage years, I began to work. As I said, I had a passion for football. I, just before I was 18 years of age, got the chance to go and play. I was playing for a local team, Myola, at that time. Got the chance to go, or the opportunity, I should say, to go and play for Glentoran Football Club in Belfast. Now, that was a scary thing for me. I had rejected the chance to go and play for Coleraine the year before. Quite honestly, I was a young country boy. I was afraid of going away up into a big town to play him. But as a year older, thought I was a year wiser. Went to Glentoran down in East Belfast, and things went really well. Things went really well as far as the football was concerned. But by this stage, I was no closer to the things of God. Still telling the same old lies. Still no time for the house of God. Things went well at Glentoran. And again, I have to tell you about a godly influence. Again, the Lord's. But let me just tell you before I went to Glentoran, I must say this. That during that year, I went to Glentoran in October 1982. But around that time, I had left school for a good few months. There were no job prospects, much the same as it is now for young folks. And I remember my older brother was in the army. It was around the time of the Falklands War, this time 30 years ago. And I was so desperate to get away out of the situation where there was no jobs, no nothing. My brother had been at me for months, get into the army, get into the army, get into the pay corps, great job. I had a few O-levels behind me. So I was desperate to get away. I went through all the tests, went to England and everything else. And there I was sitting across the table from a major. And I say this, I tell you this story simply because looking back now, I see the hand of God in this also. It was April 1982. And he says to me across the table, "We'll bring you in 3 weeks' time. We'll get you signed up in 3 weeks' time." And I was so full of excitement and anticipation. The uniform, the life that my brother had been telling me about, a career. But then he changed his mind instantly. And he says, "No, we'll bring you in the August intake." Didn't disappoint me greatly. Says, "Well, I can have the summer at home, having a rare old time to myself, and then we'll get away in August." But somehow, friends, and I didn't realise this until I looked back many years later. I went home. Now, my best pals were in the same way of thinking. They were all heading for the army. And one guy in particular, whenever I told him, for some reason, I know it now to be the Lord, the desire left me. As soon as I planted my feet back home in soil here in Northern Ireland, the desire left me. I had no desire from being totally, totally desirous of a life in the army. It had gone. I remember telling that to my best friend, and he was on that, and there was no stopping him, and he did go, and he spent 22 years in the army. He called me every name under the sun. He called me a coward, he called me this, that, the other. But nothing would change my mind. I found a job immediately. I said, "Right, the army's gone. I'm just going to have to get a job somewhere here." And there again, godly influence at that place of work. Christians that I had never met before. Went on, as I say, with football career. Again, this all happened. They got the chance to go and play for Glentoran. I took it. And there I was coming into contact with another Christian. You can't get away from them. They're everywhere, these Christians. And his name was Johnny Jemison. Some of the older men who maybe were interested in football. Johnny Jemison had that summer 1982 played for Northern Ireland at the 1982 World Cup. And I remembered his name because I was following football, I was following the World Cup. Johnny was a guy who took a stand for the Lord during that World Cup. Now, you don't hear that too often. And that Johnny refused to play on the Sabbath day at a World Cup match because of his faith in the Lord. And I remember that time thinking, what a head case. What a nutter. But here was I in the same changing room some few months later with this guy. And I looked at him. I observed him. I looked at him closely over the next few months and everything else. And you know what? He was no nutter. He was a fine, godly man. He was living for the Lord. Again, I tell you about him simply because the Lord surrounded me, bringing me into contact with people who loved the Lord. Amen. Who loved the Lord. Things went well at Glentoran, folks. Personally, as a team, you're playing for one of the top teams in the country with a massive support. I remember well one of my friends saying to me when I went to Glentoran, "Phew, it'll give you a couple of years, you make it into the first team." And I said, "Phew, if that happens, brilliant." I was never ambitious. I just played football for fun and passion. If it happened, it happened. And success did come, both as an individual and for the team. But let me say this, folks. The more success and the more I get on in that, and that life and everything else, the more I didn't want to know about the things of God. Yeah. Yes, I was still surrounded. In the workplace where I worked from 9 to 5, in the football arena, I was surrounded. Or there were godly influences, Christian influences, but I didn't want to know. I was enjoying life. And let me repeat what I said earlier. The pleasures of sin, yes, they're real. Yeah. They are real pleasures, but they're only for a season. And the Word of God says also, "Ye have sinned against the Lord." In the book of Numbers, "Ye have sinned against the Lord, be sure your sin will find you out." And I was to find that out. Again, couldn't have got me into the house of God. But you know, the Lord has ways of humbling us. And the Lord was to humble me. And I think back now, going forward 5 years, by this stage, I go to 1987. 1987 was the year I was married. It was the year the Lord was to save me. And it was just about the turn, or going into the winter of 1987, February, March. Around that time, the older folks will know what I'm talking about. They'll remember the Zeebrugge disaster in 1987, around about March 1987. It was also the time whenever the world's media was talking about nothing but the AIDS virus, 1987. And I remember, you've got to get a picture, as a young man was sailing along in life with not a trouble, seemingly not a trouble, and seemingly not a care. But the Word of God says that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And I was to know trouble. And I looked at that. I can't remember. Now, I don't know how or why. It certainly was the Spirit of God that humbled me. As I looked at that, those two tragedies that were hitting the world as such at that single time. I remember thinking the Zeebrugge disaster. Here were people that perished in an instant. An instant. That situation brought me back to the young friend I told you about I grew up with, Magara, who played football with me. He was a Christian. I remember well my 18th birthday coming back from Liverpool in the Belfast boat. You older folks know what that old Belfast boat was like. It was horrendous on a stormy night. On my 18th birthday coming back from Liverpool, I never suffered anything like it that night. Force 10 gales. Boat was reduced to one engine. It was unbelievable. It was horrendous. And I was afraid. I think about the story and the scripture of the Job where even the mariners were afraid of the great storm. I remember that night looking at my young friend and he wasn't in the least bit concerned. And my heart was full of fear. And here I was some years later in the Zeebrugge disaster and I pondered on these things and people perished in an instant. An instant. And those people with AIDS perishing over a long and agonizing, painful period of time. And I looked at both cases, friends, and I'll be honest with you, I looked at those both instances and I said, that could easily be me. That could easily be me. With the life that I had lived, with the life that I was living, that could be me. And my heart was greatly troubled, so much so that I couldn't sleep. The little Gideon's New Testament I was telling you about earlier on, I have it in my car, that I had hardly ever looked at. I remember well delving into the Word of God, because I was troubled about my sin, I was troubled about eternity, I was troubled about meeting God, I was troubled about my sin. Let me say this, make no mistake about it. When God's Spirit was taking the dealing with me, I realized that I was the vilest of sinners. I wasn't what I thought I was to other people about this half-decent fella, good crack to be with. No, it wasn't. Whenever the Spirit of God searched me out, searched my heart, I realized that I was the vilest of sinners who needed to be saved. The little Gideon's New Testament I was telling you about. See, I was a young fella, 22 years of age, young man, sitting outside his work. Now, get a picture of this, please, do you also? 7:30 in the morning, reading the Word of God. You know why? Because I couldn't sleep. I was accustomed to turning into work at 1 minute to 8, 2 minutes to 8, 8 o'clock, maybe slightly late. But whenever sleep is taken from you, whenever you can't sleep, whenever you have no peace, I was sitting outside. I remember it well, sitting outside the place of work, reading the Word of God. See that little Gideon's New Testament? There's a wee portion at the front of it where it says, where to find help when in trouble. Where to find help when in sorrow. Where to find help when afraid. Where to find help when life his troubles hit you. And my, I was afraid. I'm not ashamed to say it. I met him in a 22-year-old man who seemingly was enjoying all the that life could throw at him. The football world, television, newspapers, radio, medals, success. And I'll say this also, playing for Glentoran at that time, one of the biggest clubs in the country. Looking back on it, and I say this as a warning to everyone. It was going so well. When I think about that time, whenever I was under conviction of sin and broken and ashamed and burdened and guilty, all those things, there was nobody could help me. The people who were applauding me off the park on a Saturday. The people who lifted you high whenever you were winning trophies. Nobody. As the old hymn says, where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. And that's it, folks. Nobody could help me. I was broken over my sin. Ashamed. Couldn't talk to anybody. But you know, I'll say this. The people I was telling you about early on, the godly influences. Johnny Jameson. Let me just say this first before I talk about Johnny again. How did I come to the Lord? Just simply one day at a quiet place at work. See, I do believe at that time if someone had came to me even under my conviction of sin and says, look, do you want to come to the house of God? I do believe I wouldn't have went. But the Lord met with me. Quiet place and just simply cried unto the Lord to save me. And friends, when I say cried, I mean cry. Tears. Might have seemed like a hard young man while he's running around a football pitch, a tough guy, not tough at all. Whenever the Lord took a dealing with me. Not hard at all. Broken. Our brother mentioned the very verse of scripture. Wonderful verse of scripture that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't know much about the Word of God. I didn't know much about anything in the Word of God. But I knew all I had to do was call. And call I did, and the Lord saved me. I quoted earlier on in Psalm 34 about this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. All his troubles. I had still had much trouble in my heart that moment. I cried unto the Lord and the Lord saved me. I still had fears and worries in my life. Just left them with the Lord and the Lord dealt with them. And the Lord saved me. During that time, folks, I'll say about Johnny Jameson. At that time, I remember going, I wanted to tell people that I trusted in the Lord. I wanted to tell people that I'd get saved. I thought about my friend Ian that I grew up with. He was a Christian. I thought about Johnny Jameson. I went to the Presbyterian church that we were supposed to belong to at home in Macarthur. I knew that Ian would be there. And I saw him and I said, Ian, I have news for you. I said, and let me this also be an encouragement to God's people. A real encouragement to God's people. He says, Ian, I've something to tell you. I've been saved. I've trusted in the Lord. Well, I could see the joy in his eyes. I could see tears in his eyes. And he said something to me that astounded me. In that he says, Alfie, see, I knew his family well, his sister and his mum and father. I used to frequent their home pretty often. He says, we've been praying for you for years. Well, I didn't understand that. We've been praying for you for years. He grew up with me. He had watched me going away. He went away to be a teacher. I had my own working life and then my football life. And he really enjoyed what was happening to me in the football world. But he still knew that I was unsaved, far from the Lord. But he just kept praying. Johnny Jameson, I went to training the first night after. And remember, I have to share this. I have to share this salvation with someone, with God's people. I remember saying to Johnny, we were, if you football men are familiar with this, where you're warming up before training and you're paired off in twos. And I made sure that it was Johnny I was paired off with. And I was warming up with him. And I said, Johnny, it's a strange place to tell anybody that you were getting saved or you had got saved. I said, Johnny, I have news for you. I've put my trust in the Lord. I've been saved. Well, Johnny couldn't hold himself in. He just let out this one mighty hallelujah. And of course, everybody knew they were suffering up. And he said to me, he says, Alfie, can I tell the lads? I said, you tell everybody. I don't care. I'm saved and I'm happy to be saved and I'm happy to tell all. Friends, God's people, God's influences. Johnny said to me too, like Ian, he says, been praying for you today and now you come in through the door. That was 5 years previous. Amazing. Folks, take courage. Take heart, be encouraged. The Lord answers prayer. The Lord answers prayer. I've seen it since in my own life. Amen. How the Lord answers prayer. The guy I was working with at that time, side by side, it's amazing. For about, I don't know how long I was under conviction because it's just a blur. But the guy I was working with, I remember going into work and sharing this news with one or two of the fellows at work who were Christians. Just about a day or two after I come to faith in Christ, the fellow I was working side by side, remember, side by side, he came in the next day and he had put his trust in the Lord, him and his wife. What I didn't know was for those weeks that I was under conviction of sin, he was under conviction of sin. I hadn't a clue. And he hadn't a clue. You see, I was hiding it from everyone. It was all going on in my heart. It was all, and maybe there's someone here tonight.
Yeah.
Likewise. The battle's been raging. Under conviction. Sorrowful. Heart full of pain. Remember, just like I did, the Lord is only a prayer away.
Amen.
Just a prayer. And He'll save you. It's mighty. But you know, likewise, that friend, he told me too that the same things had spoken to him. The Lord used that Zeebrugge disaster to speak to him. The Lord was speaking. He had lived a sinful life just like me. Lived a life of sinful pleasures. And to this day, still going on well with the Lord. God is good. I went on my football career. I moved, brother will know, I moved on to Portadown. Enjoyed many successful years at Glentoran. Many successful years at Portadown. Many opportunities to witness to many. I thank God for my family. I have a son and daughter. And thank God that we knew in our home household salvation.
Amen.
It's wonderful how the Lord answers prayer. I remember well the night my young son was saved. He was only four or five years of age. And I remember well, he just approached me in the hallway. And this is the most blessed thing for a parent. And many of you parents tonight will know what I'm talking about. Out of the blue, he just says to me, Dad, I want to ask Jesus into my heart.
Amen.
Amazing. And just as simply said, Son, well, we can do that. And get down at his bedside and just simply pray the sinner's prayer with him. Wonderful. But you know, friends, and I've seen the Lord. I think about, you heard my brother Jeffrey last week, and I could tell you many things about my older brother. Jeffrey was an alcoholic, and the Lord saved him. My older brother Alistair in the armed forces was an alcoholic, and the Lord saved him.
Amen.
I've seen my mum come to Christ.
Amen.
Sisters come to Christ.
Amen.
And the Lord is good. The Lord is definitely good and merciful. But thank God for household salvation. Friends, because I'm going to relate a story to you that is hard to relate, difficult, but nonetheless it's my testimony and I have to do it. You see, some 3.5 years ago, my dad took ill. And we had a fair idea that things weren't good. And I remember well, it was September 2008, and I remember well, my older brother was taken into hospital. And I said, well, phone me whenever you get home. Let me know the outcome of the results. He phoned me, and he told me, he says, it's not good. It's cancer, is what we thought. We knew that it wouldn't be long. We didn't know how long. But I remember well, my wife Lorraine, that morning, ringing me after my brother had rung me, says, well, what's the news? I says, it's not good. And I says, this was September, remember? And I said to Lorraine, it's going to be tough from here to Christmas. That's the time scale I put on it, foolishly, as we do. It's going to be tough. That was September 2008. I says, it's going to be tough from now to Christmas. And it was, friends, because some 3 weeks later, the news that I had related to Lorraine about it being a tough before Christmas was very true, because the Lord was to take her home. It's amazing how our eyes and my thoughts were about my dad's illness and about my dad's subsequent death. But Lorraine was to be called home 3 weeks later. Just like that. The story was, my son plays part-time football or semi-professional football like I did. Lorraine was taking Aaron and my daughter Alana down to Ballymena that day. I was elsewhere involved. And friends, in an instant, as she was driving her own son's car. Aaron had just got the car that week. He just started work that week. And Lorraine says, can I drive your car, son? Yes, you can. And she was making her way between Toombridge and Ballymena. As simple as this. Her words were, I feel faint. And that was the last words. Folks, let me warn you. The word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I thank God that Lorraine was saved. I remember the night we came home from. Now remember, Lorraine was brought up with a sound gospel background, unlike me, but yet didn't come to faith in Christ until many years, good few years, 9 years after I was saved. And I had learned a lesson from my friend. I just prayed.
Amen.
I just prayed.
Amen.
God ushered her out into eternity to be with Him, at home with the Lord. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. I thank God for the grace. I never thought, folks, that, and it is still difficult to talk about it, I look back on that day and I wasn't there. My son and daughter were there. Alana was 16, Aaron was 18, and they witnessed something that was tough. But I can thank God for His grace on that day and since that day.
Amen.
Not only in my own life, for the grace to go on and the grace to just keep trusting Him. But as I look at Alana and Aaron, I look at two kids that I'm so thankful for that have not rebelled, that have not charged God foolishly, as the Word of God says. They're trusting the Lord more than they ever did before.
Amen.
And we thank and praise the Lord for that. It's nothing of me. It's all of God's grace. It's all of His mercy. It's all of His goodness. Lorraine is at home with the Lord. I still have tough days. Very, very hard days. In fact, I think it's something, and maybe there's some folks here that know what I'm talking about, that it may never leave you, the sorrow and the grief. But the opportunity to share with God's people, to share with everyone, the unsaved, about how the Lord has strengthened and brought me. There were dark, dark, dark days. And let me just share a story with you about one of those dark days. It was a good few months after Lorraine was called home. I remember well, and this is just an indication, just to give you an indication of how the Lord just hears the faint, faint cries of His people in trouble. And it was a faint cry. One morning of many mornings, I woke up and found it very difficult to face the day. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I'm not ashamed also, friends, to say this. Ye men and the congregation, I have cried every day for the last 3.5 years. Every day. But God is with me in the midst of all those tears. And I remember one of those dark, dark mornings where getting up to face the day was tough. And I cried unto the Lord in my first week of moment. I said, Lord, I remember it well, remember it vividly. God, just give me the strength to go on. Just to get to work. Get me to work. Just get me to work. And the Lord took me to work that day. But something happened that day. It was amazing. I worked on the roads and I could find myself anywhere, at any time, any place. Quiet country road up near our place, up near Magherafelt. On my own, way lost in my own thoughts. And I was approached by a guy from behind on the quietest of country roads. Let me give you an indication of what this is like, of the story I'm trying to tell you. And I just knew the fellow's face. He knew me, as it turned out, knew my name. And I could see that this fellow was troubled. There were tears in his eyes. And I was saying, you're not working. I knew him as a lorry driver. No, I'm not. And I says, he says, you know what to tell me, I'm off. He says, my mum died recently. I says, I'm sorry to hear that. He says, and I lost my brother 2 years ago to suicide. And I could see it was a broken-hearted young fella, or young man talking to me in that road. And then he says, you lost your wife. I says, I did. And then he says, you're a Christian. This is a Roman Catholic man. And I was able to share with that young man, and there were tears on that country road. Able to share with that young man the blessed news of the gospel, that Jesus knows all about his heartache. The Lord knows all about his pain. The Lord knows all about his need of salvation. And He knows all about his need in this, friend's, wilderness walk that we're on. Isn't it amazing that the day that I thought that I wasn't going to be able to start, just a few hours later, there's the Lord enabling me just to share with another needy soul of how the Lord can strengthen and how the Lord can carry you through. And I still need the Lord's grace. I still need the Lord, friends, every single day.
Amen.
You know, the hymn that we sung earlier on, 267, where actually, brother, you didn't sing the verse for, but it's so appropriate because I'm going to give it to you now. Days of darkness will come o'er me. Sorrow's path I often tread.
Yeah.
But the Saviour still is with me. By His hand, I'm safely led.
Amen.
And I, as a parent, my kids now, when I call them kids, we all do, yeah? Wayne's are kids. Aaron's 22. A young man I'm extremely proud of, but thankful above all things that he's saved. Alana, a young lassie I'm extremely proud of, but thankful above all things that she's saved. And I still have days of, like all parents, I think we're all the same. We worry about them. And I just have to leave all with the Lord. That last verse says, He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. then he'll bear me safely over.
Amen.
Where the loved ones I shall meet. I just want to urge you folks, every single one, God's people, just keep on believing, keep on trusting. We do need, our brother knows it, we all know it, encouragement and help from one another. Bear one another's burdens. Help each other on the way. You know, I've learned much about myself during my trials and troubles and trying and tribulations. And not all. I think it was you that said to me, brother, one night, we learn much about ourselves and these things, and it's not all good. And that's true. I've learned much about myself. But I thank God I'm just trusting Him. God's people, keep trusting. And ye that are here tonight without the Saviour, there's one thing you need above everything else that this world can offer. You need the Saviour.
Amen.
You need the Lord. I thank God for that day where I called upon Him.
Amen.
And He saved me. You know, let me repeat that verse of Scripture. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes about it. And the Lord longs for you, sinner, to come to Him and just simply cry. And He will hear that cry. I remember well the night Lorraine came to the Lord. Dr. Lindsay Wilson was preaching in our church. And we got home. It was just like any other night. And she began to cry. And I says, "What's wrong?" She simply said these words, "I need to be saved. I need to be saved." And whenever I can recall that moment, friends, and I'm talking to her and taking her through the Word of God and then bowing down in our living room and leading her to the Lord, she just simply cried. Whenever I can recall that moment and then recall the day where she passed on to glory, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Get right with God. Trust in Christ and He will save you. Amen.
Let's bow in prayer. We do thank Alfie for coming along tonight and giving us testimony. What a clear cut testimony we have heard this evening. Of not only of how God can save, but how the Lord can keep. Oh my friend, listen to me this evening. It doesn't matter what your burden is. The Lord can take your burden. The Lord can save you tonight. Whatever your circumstances are, the Lord can give you strength in the midst of your trials. The old devil tonight will tell you you can't be saved because of the sins that you've committed in the past. But you know, friend, the devil's a liar. The Bible says the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And the only qualification you need tonight to be saved is that you're a sinner. Because the Lord loves sinners. And He died for sinners. Would you not come to Christ tonight? Give Him your life. And then watch and see what the Lord does with your life. He'll give you a new life. And from this day forward, you'll start living for Him. Everything will be changed. Everything will be different. He'll take your burden away. And He'll give you eternal salvation. He'll forgive you for your sins. And He'll make you ready for heaven. If there's someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you, the Lord has been speaking to you, just like He spoke to Alfie over many, many months, perhaps maybe even many years. And He's been speaking to you too. My friend, you've got to close in with God's free offer of salvation. You've got to bow the head and repent the sin and by faith trust the Saviour. You've got to do that tonight. If we can be any help, please wait behind in the meeting. If you'd like to speak to Alfie or myself, we're here as God's servants. We can't save you, but we can point you to the one who can. But please don't leave the meeting tonight without the Saviour. Get saved tonight. And I give you the invitation to wait and seek the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for our brother's testimony tonight. We thank Thee for all the way that you brought them and saved them, Lord. How we thank thee for the way that you've kept them, and even through the dark days, you've been that friend that has stuck closer than a brother. We thank thee, Lord, not only do you give saving grace, but you give keeping grace. How we thank thee, Lord, for the grace of God that we experience day by day. Oh God, we pray tonight that others will experience that saving grace. Those here tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God, that they might call upon thee. For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then, Lord, they know all about keeping grace. Lord, bless the testimony tonight. We believe that you have. Bless your word. For Lord, we have heard your word tonight, and we have seen an example of what God can do and what God's word does do. It's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. And we thank thee, Lord, that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank thee, Lord, for the day when the word of God was sown in Alfie's heart. Way back even when he was a child, reading that text in his bedroom. Oh God, one sows and another reaps, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. Oh God, save souls in this house tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.